episode number 26 of the NLSC podcast, and we are dedicating this week's episode to the great number 26, James Hollywood Robinson, played for the Blazers in the 90s, such a superstar. And speaking of Hollywood, that's in California. And speaking of California, well, we'll get to that in a little bit. But I am Andrew, and I'm joined by Leftos.
Hello, everybody.
And, of course, Ben.
Hi, everyone. How you doing?
We're all good. I'm sure all our listeners are fantastic.
Yeah. I can imagine all the people listening to the podcast going all together, hi, we're all great.
We're trying to be interactive, so.
Yeah.
Future podcast.
We're trying to be interactive without being live, so that works out great.
We'll soon have the technology, just like the Jurex Funderpants that you...
Fundaware, Andrew. I mean, come on. That's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. You know,
let's not talk about that. They're not giving us any money. We resolved not to talk about it.
No. This is one product I don't need any money to talk about.
Okay.
I mean, I'm so amazed after finding it out today. I'm speechless. I'm speechless. It's the best product that was ever created. And what we're talking about, just to give you an idea, is that what Durex has done, Durex is the, you know, worldwide condom manufacturer. What they've done is...
They do gloves as well for cleaning and gardening purposes.
Yes, yeah.
But that's not what we're interested in, man.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I know, but it's just broadening people's horizons.
Their new product is going to set the standard and replace sliced bread as the standard to what everything is going to compare to, to be compared to. Because everyone says it's the best thing that has ever happened since sliced bread. You know, that's a common saying. But now, sliced bread is, you know, no longer impressive. I don't give a fuck about sliced bread anymore. We have Durex Funderwear, which what it is underwear that has those... it has these sorts of vibration mechanisms in them, and you can use an iPhone app that Durex has built to, let me put this in a nice way, remotely stimulate your partner through the phone, because you have the app on your phone, your partner has the app on their phone, and what you're doing is interact with the app, and the underwear interacts with your partner.
I think I know how they got that idea.
I don't want to know where they got the idea from, because I know you're not going to put it in a discreet manner.
No, trust me, it is. It's purely PG. Okay. The trying to remember the episode of the Drew Carey show, the St. Patrick's Day episode, where they make their own beer, but there's an ingredient added in by accident. And then also that Gerald Butler, Catherine Heigl movie. I can't remember its name, but the movie where they're together. I can't remember what it's called.
Look, you ruined it for me. We were talking about interactive underwear, and you mentioned Drew Carey. I'm not going to get that image out of my head for the next hours.
No, but it's Drew Carey
wearing the interactive underwear and interacting with himself. So.
Wow. No. It was Kate. It was the girl's name was Kate in the TV show, wasn't it?
You didn't mention the girl. You didn't tell me who the girl was so I could look her up. You mentioned Drew Carey. I mean, come on.
What was the name of the show?
Respect?
I'm sorry to kill your buzz.
The important thing here is that technology is once again replacing everything in our regular lives. There is no reason for us to interact with anyone.
I disagree. I mean, With all joking aside, this is the way I see it, the way my perverted mind sees it, is that this is going to help people in distant relationships.
Yeah.
This is going to help, because one of the main things that you don't get when you're in a relationship from a distance is a kind of intimacy. I mean, you have sexting, you have webcams, but you didn't have the interaction, in a way. You know, I'm putting it very mildly.
This is like Demolition Man in that movie.
Yeah.
It's basically that scene, just this generation. Oh, that's poor. That's very poor.
But you know, I see that being helpful in a way for partners that have to spend a lot of time away from each other. It is weird. It's always going to be weird. But then again, nobody would think that such a perverted invention as the Fleshlight would ever take off. And it did. I mean, Fleshlight still exists and produces all these special kinds of products. And you can even, from what I understand, you can even request a product with the design that you want. You know, people that know what Fleshlight is will understand what I mean.
You speaking Rander, from experience on this one? Or 18, something you're not telling Rander, us?
Do not look up what Fleshlight is. Just go to Disney.com. Spend some time there.
Well, and none of these companies are going to give us any money, so I propose we move on into the wonderful topics we have on the docket today.
Wasn't that the main topic of this
I stand corrected. That actually was.
Okay. Let's move to secondary topics then.
Yeah, baseball.
Baseball. What happened? Baseball. Yeah. No. I thought you guys started following baseball.
No,
not at all. But so
it's
I guess
as bad as cricket.
Yeah. Okay. Let's enough talking about things that we despise and aren't at all interested in talking about. We have some very big news this week. I posted it on the site yesterday at your green light, Leftos. Yeah. And the big news, of course, is that Leftos will unfortunately be leaving us, but it is a fantastic opportunity that we want to congratulate on him again. You'll be joining 2K to work on the NBA 2K series. So once again, congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Happy for you, man. And I know it wasn't an easy choice from the offers and that you've had, but congratulations. I think you probably made the right choice.
Thanks. Thanks for mentioning that, Ben. And I want to extend a huge thank you to the community because it's been less than a day and a half since I announced it and since I let Andrew announce it first because without NLC I wouldn't be here right now, so I thought the NLC should announce it first. And after, it's been less than a day and a half since that, and I've been watching this amazing reaction erupt from everywhere, Twitter, NLC, Operation Sports. It's been amazing. It's been great. It's a great opportunity for me. I'm still sad about the fact that I won't be able to, you know, do all these tools that I've been doing that help people because, you know, even participating in the game, you know, there's without modding, those games wouldn't be as popular as they were. And I know that because I participated in that for 2 years. And I'm reading so many messages about, you know, people saying that we're going to miss your tools and, you know, everything like that. But I mean, I've proven that, what I feel I've proven is that there's nothing that should be kept as a secret to a select few in the community. I mean, global editing was something that only a few people were doing back in 2K11 and 2K10 and 2K9. And there was such an eruption of shadow mods in 2K12 after I made the tool that allowed everyone to create their own globals and their own shadow modes. So
yes.
I'm hoping that, and in support of the way I feel a community should run, and we've discussed this at length in previous podcasts, everything that I've done is open source. The code is out there. The fact that I'm joining 2K Sports doesn't mean that my tools have to die off. It only takes someone that is willing to, you know, even learn programming or, you know, is familiar already with programming to just pick them up and continue the work that I've done or, you know, see a few things, do their own tools. I don't mind at all, you know, just go crazy with them, continue the tools. I'm still going to, you know, as much as time allows me because working on a game as great as NBA 2K
might just take yeah. priority.
It will take, obviously, it will take priority, but, you know, I see people there I saw people there, and they didn't look like they were, you know, exhausted out of their minds. They seemed passionate. They seemed excited. I saw people there. I saw engineers that had been there for 14, 17 years. And, you know, there's nothing keeping you. When you've worked for 14 and 17 years in the industry, there's nothing that is keeping you, is forcing you to stay with the same company. You're staying because you want to stay.
Absolutely.
You've probably got more than your share of offers. Most probably some of them would be with for better money than what you're working on, because you have a lot of experience. You can work on managerial and design positions, stuff like that. So the fact that I saw people there being not just in the industry, mind you, being at the same company for so long gives me the sense of trust that I need to feel safe that GK is going to be a great choice, because not only will I be working on a great game, but it seems that this project is such, and the atmosphere and the company culture is so great that people want to stay there. So I hope that even without being able to contribute with tools, I'll be able to contribute even more if, you know, since I'll be able to directly influence the development process and, you know, build my own things and suggest my own ideas directly as part of the development team, rather than be, you know, part of a community, you know, participating in the wish list and hoping it gets in time, because I'll be making my own time. I'll be doing my own overtime if needed, you know, if I get a great idea approved. And considering that I'm not someone that just was just a software engineer or software developer working here and there and decided, oh, here's a job listing at 2K, let's go apply to there. But I came from the community. I was an avid gamer of NBA 2K ever since it came on the PC. I've been part of the community. I've been part of NLSC since 2009. I've been participating actively the last 2 years. I've been part of the team for the last year. I know what the community wants to see. I know what the community is happy about, what the community is disappointed about. I've read all the wish lists. I've made my own wish lists. We've discussed on the podcast and on the Let's Plays with John what we want to see in the game. So I come from a place that's full of passionate people that are actually playing the game and have so many great ideas. So I hope that I'll be able to go in there, you know, and do as many of the stuff that I'll be able to make, to keep, you know, NBA 2K be as great a series as it already is and only keep improving. And it's a great time to join 2K Sports, considering, you know, we all know the next generation consoles are coming out sooner or later.
And you know, that's why we're so excited. It's great to see everybody chiming in with such positive messages of, you know, encouraging you and congratulating you on this, because it is very special to have somebody go from the community to actually go on to the other side. Someone, as you said, who's not only got the experience with the programming, but also passionate about the game and knowledgeable about the sport and passionate about the sport. So you actually can bring so much more to the table. And obviously we will miss having you on the team and your tools and all, and hopefully people will take those up and take advantage of the source code that's out there. I myself will release a special version that has a different icon for the .exe file. That'll be something to look forward to. We will miss you and having you as a regular on the podcast and everything, but you are absolutely going there with our blessing and our congratulations and our full support. You know, we're really happy for you. So, yeah, like I said before, congratulations. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I promise people have been asking, will I still be around the community? Will I still be participating in the forums? And although, you know, obviously I won't be able to discuss things that, you know, 2K hasn't announced, I won't be able to, you know, discuss what I'm doing, what I'm working on, and stuff like that, I'll still be able to, you know, come around, have a chat about the NBA, about the latest events, and of course, you know, discuss whatever is announced, you know, whatever, you know, we've already mentioned that is going to be either in the next iteration or whatever. So I'm still going to be around. I won't forget that I came from the community, and, you know, without having a site like the NLC to present my work, to get feedback and to get better, none of this would have happened. I mean, nobody would know who I was. You know, 2K wouldn't have discovered me. So I owe it all to the community. And I'm not going to forget that. I'll still be around as much as I can. I'm still going to, you know, have a chat from now and then if I can, you know, even participate in the podcast. And I'll always be taking on the wish list, pushing for to get, you know, as many of those things in there. And it's hard. I mean, you get a much better perspective because when you are part of the community, it's easy, you know, you participate in the complaining and you say, oh, why aren't you working on that? And how hard would it be to fix that and this and do this and why you still haven't added that one? But let me tell you, from just a day in 2K's offices with talking with everyone and seeing what is on the whiteboard, which of course I am not ever going to mention. I mean, I know
Jay-Z their mode. Passion. You
yeah. Yeah, don't get me fired. I mean,
I don't want to edit the podcast. I'm sorry. I take it all back. You know, you're staying here. Yeah. You're editing every podcast from now on.
Yeah. They're passionate. They're passionate about it. I mean, T13 showed that they're not getting complacent, that they're not going to.
I think that's it's one of those common complaints in a community, those lazy developers or those stupid developers. But when it comes down to it, you know, I've been to community events at not 2K, but EA. And when it comes down to it, you are talking about people that really do care what they're doing. There's always other considerations. But yeah, we sometimes lose perspective of the people who are putting in a lot of time and effort into the games. And now you get to be one of those people, so we can blame you for everything.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm expecting that. I'm going to be one of those lazy 2K developers that never do what the community wants and stuff like that. But I can tell you for a fact that 2K listens to feedback and checks the wishlist because I'm seeing a lot of exciting things for the future that I can't mention. It's definitely going to be a great year. Is going to be a great transition, and I can't wait to be a part of it and, you know, give back to the community all the support that they've given me and give it back in the best possible way by directly influencing and improving NBA 2K as a game. So it's an exciting time. Once again, thanks to everyone that has, you know, that has mentioned, that has given me their support, that has supported me over those 2 years, everyone at the NLSC, the NLSC staff, of course, and Andrew especially, who took me up as part of the team last April, and everyone that has helped me throughout all this, and Operation Sports, of course, and Sim Nation, of course, everyone from there as well, because their support has been immense. And their support and their praise is what got 2K to notice who I am and decide that that's a person we want on the team to help us, you know, make NBA 2K an even greater game. And as I said, I hope I'll still be around I'll still be around the community to discuss everything with you guys, unless it's not announced.
Of course, you know, I mean, what do we see? You know,
to receive your criticism and name-calling about how I'm part of that lazy team that never does anything right, to introduce a lot of bugs in the game that you're going to... to never update the shoes, to introduce a lot of new bugs in the game that you are going to complain about. No. I mean, I'll try to do my best and do the best job that I can, and, you know, hopefully I'll be part of the team for long enough to be a true influence and represent the community that has supported me for so long and make NBA 2K the game that everyone has been dreaming of for all these years.
Well, I'm happy to play my role in that. And as I said, it's been great having you on the team, but I want a T-shirt. So that's my, that's the reward that I feel I'm entitled to.
I can neither confirm or deny that I'm getting you a T-shirt.
What a tease.
To put it that way, yeah.
If you can't get one off him, you can get one off me, which is a great little segue.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so talking about T-shirts, let's move on to some other big news. Ben, I know you've been working on some great stuff, both as far as the games are concerned and as far as the real world is concerned. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, just in this past few days, I've been working on some NLSC official merchandise from ranging at the moment from both men's and women's t-shirts. So yeah, at the moment there's a few t-shirt designs. I think there's about 10 or 12 that I've done in the last few days. I'll be publicly viewing them to the community in the coming probably by end of next week. I'll do up a few more designs and that. And at the moment, I am going to be talking to my supplier from my clothing line about getting this stuff made up for the site. At the current stance, what's a potential hindrance is I have to actually purchase outright all the t-shirts at once. So to have them all made up and that. So I'll come at a loss at first if I was to go this way, but I am in... going to be in possible talks with another supplier and that who could supply stuff and do it in a different manner where I don't have to pay up front to get this stuff made up. So I'll be hopefully having a more solid solution how we could get this sold on the NLSC website at this stage in probably the next month or so. So I'll talk more about it then and all that, but it'll be a good little way for people to who are interested, of course, in purchasing. And yes, P-Dub, I am going to inquire about the bra and panties thing for you. I know you're very keen on that, and I'll try and get the tassels and the little bit of glitter and stuff on that for you.
Maybe the way
you like.
Maybe we should be approaching Durex. Maybe you can help them with their Thunderwear brand. Get some NLSC brand in Thunderwear.
We just lost all four of the ladies in our forum.
I'm thinking of both you and the community, baby.
That's just wrong. But, I'll post the pictures of the stuff in the by the end of next week to publicly and all that.
I have to admit, I really like the designs. I mean, some might get us in trouble, some we might never be able to sell, but just, you know, sell to people
I'm hoping that if the organizations who it drew the influence from, seeing it as a way of homage to why our community exists and stuff. So that's what I'm hoping, that it's sort of paying a tribute to what they've done and to how long our community's been around for stuff. So
I get the point. Yeah. I get the point. But still, you know, there's still corporations, and when it's one thing doing things for free, but when you're selling them, it's another. So they might be. But I know that you're going to be making some original designs too, which, you know, people will be able to buy, you know, without us worrying about...
So that could potentially pay for my legal fees and all that stuff if we get through the other stuff, so
yeah. And people will be able to, you know, proudly wear their NLSC t-shirt and show that, you know, their life is full of playing basketball games and, you know, because that's not enough. They're also spending so much of their time creating mods and programming instead of being out and enjoying life.
One thing that I'm going to try and inquire about doing is getting it personalized, like having you can put your username and stuff like that on the actual shirt as well. So
that's cool.
So yeah, that's a sort of unique feature, and it's all customizable to what size you want, and you know, because not everyone fits into the standard. Standing sizing unit and all that stuff. So that's one great thing about my company is if you don't fit in the norm as such in the sizing thing, like 6 foot and under for a male kind of thing, and like 80 kilos or something like that, you can get it to whatever size you want. So
are you dissing Andrew right now, Andrew?
No.
To the guy.
This is no diss on him. Like I'm 6'7", and I like, well, in particularly my shorts, I do like them long. I like them. So I make sure that I get my shorts at least 70 centimeters long. from the top of the waistband down to the bottom of it. So yeah,
do you get any flack from the NBA for that? You know, it has to be so far above the knee, or not too baggy.
So far, no. No flack from that from the leagues that I play in. So that's good. And for me, it's a comfort thing.
Do we get NBL inspired shirts and shorts?
The NBL stuff is trash. I can tell you that. my stuff is better than theirs. I'm gonna come out
clean. Well, big statements. So yeah. we need to put a disclaimer on them though that these shirts are not guaranteed to get you all the ladies. They will get you some of them, but not all.
It seems pessimistic to suggest that the NLC apparel is not going to, make you, just stand out. I mean, we're just starting out with the t-shirts and whatnot, but then we go into the whole custom tuxedos with the and everything,
the spinning bow ties and all that stuff. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I have a new shoe coming out. It's the Ground Begley rather than the Air Jordan. So that'll also be there, and in the game next year. And that's why I'm glad. You're with 2K now. So, we can get the Ground Begleys into the game. So
we need to contact. We need to contact Ronnie and tell him that we're starting our own shoe brand and that we need to make a deal. After Nike and Adidas and who else is in the game? Under Armour is in the game.
Reebok.
Jordan is in the game. Reebok. Yeah, yeah. Then we have the Ground Begley. Which what is the bonus that your shoes are going to give to players, Andrew? What do you reckon?
I think it's something in the negative range.
Something like add 40 pounds.
40 pounds? I'm in shape, man.
Yeah, sure. Maybe minus 10 potential?
Minus 10 potential. Well, I am 28, so yeah, when sort of, I don't think I'm going to get much better than I am right now.
You wear them and feel old.
Yeah, so you wear them
and you're suddenly at the peak of your career, but things can only get worse.
Yeah, just looking at that big 3-0 and just thinking, why?
Have a little disclaimer, this won't make you play like Uncle Drew.
Are you actually worried about that, Andrew? Are you actually feeling the 30s coming towards you and getting worried about it?
Well, no, because I'm in pretty good shape and quite fit and run every day and everything.
I'm not talking about your body, though. I'm talking about your life. Do you feel that
What I'm saying is because I'm in a good frame of mind and good health and everything. Not really. I mean, it's just a number. It's just occasionally we do within my group of friends, we have a couple of younger people in the group now, sort of just turned 21, 22. So when you're the old man in the group, you're sort of, oh, well. But no, it is just a number. Obviously, I'm still quite a young man, so yeah.
Okay.
I'm 31. There's not much to worry about once you hit 30. So yeah.
Good. Yeah, it's good to know.
Yeah, and we know Ben's lifestyle. I mean, it's all basketball and drinks. So everyone has a chance if Ben has got to 31.
I do like basketball and a good beer. So yeah.
But I'm going to be the awkward grandma here, Andrew. And I see a lot of your friends are getting married. So does that put you into a frame of mind thinking that I'm reaching 30? Do you see yourself getting married? Do you have any thoughts about it? Do you think you're late? Do you think it's still early?
I think it's just a matter of opportunity, when Mrs. Administrator comes fast, that will be her official title, by the way.
Mrs. Administrator?
Mrs. Administrator, yeah.
Will she be around the forums?
Yeah, it actually reminds me of someone who was who signed up with the username Andrew's Wife and was just making the creepiest posts, and I'm like, oh, really? What was that? It was a couple of years ago. I just shook my head and like, really? This is. I mean, even for trolling, it was lazy. As lazy as those damn programmers, I tell you.
All they do is drink coffee all day.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things that yes, a lot of my friends are getting married, but that's okay. You know, a lot of my friends aren't as well. So, yeah.
I'm the last one out of my friends that's not married or has a kid. Yeah.
Kid. Yeah. Whenever I'm at the store and there's someone there with a little kid and they're doing that multi-octave changing gears crying, that's like, yes, yeah. I'm really not ready to be a father yet, I can tell you.
You know, in some ways, it has its benefits, but in some days you kind of go, yeah, not so much with the kids, but the partner sort of side of things. It's like, yeah, kind of wish, but I know my flaws and I know why I'm still the way I am, so like in the single status and all that shit, so it doesn't worry me too much at the moment.
We're getting very introspective in today's podcast.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, who cares about rich basketball players when we're the real people living the real life? I mean, you know? Let's talk about us some more. People want to know about us, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I like long walks on the beach.
Should I put some background music here?
Yeah, you know? Just something nice and flowery, I think. Yeah,
yeah. Slow piano background.
Kenny G. Yeah. Something Barry Manilow. Barry White.
Barry White.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. You know, Andrew going, I like slow walks, long walks on the beach, and Barry White going, background. That's going to be pure comedy gold. But,
and then ends it with, I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Yeah, that's flowery. That's definitely flowery. But you said she's going to be, Andrew, you said she's going to be Mrs. Administrator, and I have to be curious. You've been a long-running administrator. Do you ever feel burned out? Do you still see yourself running the site for years to come? Would you rather start nurturing, you know, a successor or something? How has the NLC been treating you? I mean, be honest. It's a community. They want to know. They want your feedback so that they can be better members for you. I'm pretty sure about it. Yeah. They all care.
Well, with the rosters, for example, I am leaning towards giving those up because I've been doing them for a long time. And there are fewer... The people who download them are really passionate and really supportive, but there are fewer people downloading them, so it's a lot of work for a diminishing audience. You know, the same reason that companies shut down their online servers, basically.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so long you can offer support for these things. And I feel it's safe to say that I've done pretty well by the PC community with my roster updates for the last, I've been doing them one game or another for over a decade now, actually since 98, so yeah, 15 years, when I was but a teen, while the teens were going to parties, I was updating rosters. No. But I guess I'm kind of burnt out on that, and that's one of the reasons it took so long for them to get out, that and other things getting in the way, obviously. My day job, my social life and everything else, other responsibilities and things that are a little more important than rosters, but that's probably the first thing I'll be giving away. I do think I'll be running the site in some capacity for a while. It may be that I'm take a slightly less hands-on approach as the years go by and just be more of a technical, run it from a technical standpoint or doing more news posts, less, or just more a case of news posts rather than posting as much as I do in the forum. Scaling it back, and as you say, training a successor, because I'd hate to for the site to go down as soon as I gave it away. But there are times,
it's a great resource that's been running for almost 17 years.
Absolutely, and
it's not just you and me and Ben and the other members of the staff that would be disappointed to see the site.
It has a great legacy, down. Yeah.
It's not just a legacy. I mean, the community would lose a big part of its modding. I mean, other sites have spawned that try to, you know, big modding communities and, you know, have people post their work and stuff like that, but I feel none have been as successful as the NLC in actually not being just a hosting site, but being an actual community.
Absolutely.
That takes care of its members, that has an environment where people can learn and, you know, start from being amateur modders to, you know, getting the feedback and becoming good modders and great modders. And I feel that, you know, the world needs NLSC. I mean, even just for 2K to steal more people and get them in the development team, the world needs the NLSC.
Well, I'm very proud of what we've been able to do as a community, Tim Lutz and Brian were able to do in the early days. I like to stay humble about it, but I'm pretty proud of what I've been able to do with the site in my 11 years running it now, going on 12 years, actually. Wouldn't it be? Yes. So, absolutely. I want it to continue on even when the day does come that I have to really reduce my role or give it up. But we'll see. And there's been times over the years when it's gotten really stressful, when I was younger and perhaps not as well equipped to deal with some of the dramas that happen in an online community and whatnot. And we've had our ups and downs over the years when I have thought, I'm going to give it away. And it's come really close. I was 95% ready to walk away at one point, actually, around about 2004, 2005, just a few years in. But I've obviously stuck around for a lot longer than that, and I'm very glad to have done so. I don't know when I'll give it up. I guess it depends. We'll see how things go in my private life, I suppose. But for now, I do enjoy doing it. It's a great hobby and creative outlet. Maybe we'll scale back some of my projects that I'm doing as far as patching is concerned. And Pat probably starting with the rosters, grooming somebody else to take over them, putting the resources and tutorials on how to do the rosters as I've been doing them. But as far as the site itself, I should be around for a while, I should think. So, anyone who hates me, I'm sorry. You're not getting rid of me. And you can't vote me out. You can't get rid of me.
Yeah.
And there have been people over the years, I'm sure, that have wanted me to go. And I can't say that I've handled every situation perfectly, but I am human and I learn and I make mistakes just like everyone else. But I'm pleased with what we've been able to accomplish and what I've been able to do personally and the help from you guys and everyone, John and Pat and Q and everyone. Yeah, no, we've got a really good thing going. We have had our ups and downs. I really do believe we have a great community. And the fact we've been around so long, that's a testament to that, I believe. Really do.
I completely agree. I mean, and the fact that, you know, this community took someone up that was just, you know, programming tools to make the jerseys look better, you know, back in December 11, and within, I don't know, a year and
18 months, let's
you know,
say.
Yeah. 18 months later, you know, I'm being hired by 2K to join the NBA 2K development team. I mean, how many communities can say that?
Yeah.
You know?
Do we know?
And it's not the first time. It's not the first time it's happened. I mean, you were here to witness another member of the NLSC be picked up by a video game development company.
Indeed, one of our co-founders, Tim Turner, who went to work for EA back in 2000, 2001, his first game.
Yeah.
Was a
producer. How many? I mean, how many communities can say that?
Yeah.
That, you know, not they've many. Had, they've nurtured members to become part of the companies that they were actually.
I'm sure. I'm sure it happens, but it's always such a tremendous thing for any community.
Yeah.
I have to believe, and it's really exciting. So, yeah. do we know how much longer we've got you around on a regular basis, or is that still?
It's still, you know, I have accepted the offer, but in order to be employed, you know, I need to get a work visa, which, you know, as anyone that's familiar with the immigration process for the US, you know, it's a process that takes some time. There might be alternate ways for me to start earlier, but I don't want to, you know, say too much.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Not to jinx it anymore. I remember saying I don't want to jinx anything and that I don't want to say too much about it and stuff like that. I don't want to jinx it anymore. I mean, I'm pretty much set, but, you know, there's certain stuff that I'd rather not discuss.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's your employment, and there's things that belong behind closed doors. So.
I know.
Yeah.
What I can tell you for sure is that Scott Patterson, who is the executive vice producer and co-founder of Visual Concepts, is one amazing guy. He's been very passionate throughout the process. He's been amazingly helpful, And it's amazing to have, you know, the EVP of a company be your point of contact. It's something that, you know, few companies will do for someone that's just out of university, that's passionate about the game and, you know, is dreaming of working on it. And I can tell you that they're doing their best to get me there as soon as possible, to get me in the team and to be able to contribute right away. So I can't tell you how much time I still have, you know, being a regular part of the NLSC, but I'm going to, you know, do my best to enjoy what I might have left. I mean, I'm in the podcast today. I'm still, you know, around the forums discussing whatever I can discuss. But, as much as I enjoy the community, you know, I'm very much looking forward to starting, you know, work on NBHK as soon as possible. I can't wait to start contributing and making, you know, a great series even better.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, like we said before, congratulations. And don't forget about us. You know.
Yeah, I won't. I mean, right. Keep pestering me. Keep texting me or something, you know. And the best way is just, you know, put some money aside each month. Come to San Francisco. Let's get a beer all together. We have in California. Patrick is from California. Hugh is from California. So, you know, John is very excited to come to California from what I understand. I've been discussing it with him. So, you know, if there's a chance for the NLSC to get together and maybe, you know, do for all of us to...
Las Vegas, you know, is not that far away from California.
Yeah,
Nevada's right across the border.
Getting stuck in the U.S. because you've bet your return ticket?
Well, you know, good stories don't come about because you've done the right thing or the smart thing.
Yeah. Although you could end up marrying in a chapel and all that sort of shotgun style.
And there's Mrs. Administrator right there, so, you know.
Yeah exactly.
Imagine that. Imagine coming for an NLSC meetup in California and meeting Mrs. Administrator there.
She can take the podcast.
And if I don't know if you guys in Australia can get an ESTA to enter the United States as tourists, but an ESTA, which is the travel visa that the U.S. have,
is that the visa waiver where you can be there for 90 days? Or
it's 90 days. So, you know, even if you lose all your money the third, fourth day, you know, you still have 86 days for me to somehow, you know, get some money and send you back. Unless you have a job that's going to get you fired if you miss too many days, you know, you're safe.
Yeah, we can sell NLC t-shirts on the street to
arriving at the U.S. immigration, you know, business or pleasure. What are you going to do? I'm going to lose all my money and get someone to pay me to get back to Australia.
Oh, business then.
Yeah. Sounds like business to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's going to be amazing fun. I mean, imagine us getting all together to play some hoops or doing a video podcast all together somewhere. It's going to be. I can't wait for that to happen.
I'm looking forward to the world's saddest dunk contest myself. where only a few of us can actually like do anything halfway spectacular.
Well, if you get the
rest of you could be props. You could be props.
If you get a hoop that's 5'10", maybe you can see some amazing dunks from me too, but anything higher than that, don't expect it.
Yeah. So we mentioned the apparel. Getting back to games for a moment, Ben, you've also been working on a little bit of a comeback, possibly, for 06?
Yeah. Just the last
which is also apparel-related as well.
Yes. I've been working on... Do you remember the classic stuff I did for was at Live 05 and Live 06 with the dunk contest and practice outdoor modes and all that stuff with the NPCs standing around the court sort of cheering you on and all that stuff? I've started working on some stuff for that again. A lot better than the stuff that I originally did. Better texturing and more material based sort of stuff, so it looks more legit. And you know, it's a light comeback. It's not going to be overindulgent like it was with the however many hardware classics that I've done over the years. I'll still do a little bit here and there. I'll still do a little bit of jersey stuff and maybe some stuff around the courts. I'll probably do some scorecards and that for the contest as well, for Live 06. And that for any mods that sort of have require that. And all that.
I'll be sure to put them in the rosters and be a jerk and not give you credit. Oh.
And then people are going to report you for stealing other people's work.
Yeah, that's gonna go down well.
And Arcane is going to post me pictures of proof. Here are my jerseys. You stole them.
Yeah.
And then the thread is going in the Hall of Fame. Good fun.
We are a very good community, as we said.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
It's a small comeback because I have missed it. You know, I mean, it's been a few years, and I had contemplated actually a year ago, pretty much to the day, where I was sort of contemplating a comeback. I did some previous stuff for like the new Wizards and new Jazz jerseys and stuff like that, and I started working on some other texture stuff with like the whole Revolution 30, and I was studying how different uniforms and all that have theirs and all that. So I'll do a little bit more of it over the coming months, and then sort of see from there. Depending what the PC requirements and that for the next, if there is a 2K14 for PC, I might look into that. Yes. So don't let us down. If my laptop's able to support it, I might have a crack at it, just sort of get familiar with seeing what their methods like and sort of seeing if the textures and all that stuff are enjoyable to work with and not a absolute pain in the asses. So yeah, it's good to come back in some capacity and all that stuff and give back to the community again. And I'm hoping that, you know, this apparel stuff as well, the official outfitter for the NLSC is also another way of sort of giving back to the community as well. So I think it's going to be a good few months and all that.
It looks very cool what you've done so far. So I'm looking forward to it and seeing what else you can do, because those little things really do sort of make up the they just enhance. I mean, it's always nice to have the mods and the patches that bring things up to date, but little things like that are little nice touches. Custom practice courts and things.
Yeah,
I made a couple of custom. I dabbled in making some custom courts for the last few NBA Live games. I remade the hangar court, sort of a version of the hangar court from NBA Live 10, yep. And such, and little things like that that don't really enhance the game or update the game in the way that we normally think of in terms of the current updates, but certainly add that little extra pizzazz to the game, really enhance the experience that way. So I'm looking forward to it and seeing what you come up with.
Thank you. And as long as it's not people doing requests based off, because I can't guarantee that I'll be able to do all that. It's not taking requests. I'll just do things that I felt like I've wanted to do over the last few years and that, and just sort of might be some little individual stuff for some teams and that might be about it. It's just. It's going to be see how I go approach. So
yeah,
at the moment I'm only committing to a few months of just sort of some light stuff and then reassessing after that whether I have the time to. So yeah,
that'll be good. And then that's how everyone should mod. You know, do it out of a passion for it and find a niche and update what needs to be updated or find something that you can do that no one else is really looking for and just. Not be doing it for the accolades or the chest thumping or anything, just for enjoyment. That's the best way to do it and the best way to not get burned out on it.
I'm hoping with the t-shirt apparel stuff and the other stuff that I'm planning on doing for my clothing line with the NLSC, I'm hoping that kind of makes up for me not really moderating the forums as much as I should have over the last two years in particular.
Moderating is its own reward, as Leftos can attest. You know, there's nothing.
I'm not monitoring them as much and sort of saying, you to stay in line sort of thing and report people for bad behavior sort of stuff. I haven't done that for quite a while, admittedly, especially when there's like spam bombs and all that stuff. So yeah, I'm hoping it kind of makes up for that.
Well, fortunately, we said before, we do have a very good community on the whole, and outside of incidents here and there, we don't have a lot of it, so we're probably pretty lucky in that regard. It's only a few troublemakers here and there, and I'm trying not to be profane, so I won't go into my thoughts on those particular individuals, but it's all good stuff to look forward to. And something else that's just come out today in regards to modding, Redditor is about to drop this Friday, which is very exciting stuff for the NBA 2K 13 modders. John has prepared a video that gives a rundown of some of the prices and the different packages that you can get, as well as some of the features. He's already done tutorials for them, as we've said before. So, yeah, get ready for that and a whole lot of more fantastic mods from the community, basically.
Yeah. We've been discussing the editor throughout the weeks, and I've done some beta testing myself, and it's an amazing tool that, you know, that allows the community to do the great stuff that it's done for the past years. I mean, we've said that there wouldn't be any Ultimate Base roster without Redditor, so it came later this year, but it's going to be worth the trouble if you're looking into it, if you're willing to do some large scale modding and, you know, do get the best out of get more out of the game than you know what you would normally get on the PC.
Yeah.
So definitely check it out. Jasmine has already put out, you know, around 20 or more videos about Redditor before it's even released.
Yeah.
So you can't, you know, you can't complain that you didn't know. He pretty much explains every feature that is out there. Yesterday he put out a video explaining how the licensing works and how you can, you know, buy different tabs this year and spend less money to do exactly the things that you want to do. So definitely check it out. It's going to be the start of even more exciting stuff than what we've already had for 2K13.
Absolutely, yeah. It's going to be great.
Oh, and on another note, I have actually downloaded your roster update for Live 06. In fact, I was up till 6:30 a.m. when I was working on my stuff for the LNSC, like with the slam dunk patches and all that stuff. Yeah, I was up till 6:30 a.m. downloading that. So that's dedication there.
Oh, what do you think of the overall rating for Royal Ivy? Have I got that right, or
I've got to play a little bit more. I've mainly just sort of been testing my patch stuff at the moment, but I have downloaded, I have installed it, but yeah, I will be trying to play more games with it at the moment. So yeah, probably on the weekend I'll be able to. I'll play it a little bit more, like a couple of hours, and sort of give feedback after that.
Well, let me know if I've got Solomon Jones ratings wrong, because that would be the that would just go speak to my incompetence of overlooking his ratings.
But, no worries. Well, as long as he's not overrated like Eric Gordon in 2K13, you should be sweet.
Yeah. So one last note from the community. We've mentioned the last couple of weeks the playtesting survey and the events at EA Canada took place last week, and Chris CP3 Paul from the community went along to that, and he's under NDA, as we knew he would be, but seems pretty excited about what he played, and has been teasing us with saying that he's really looking forward to later this year whatever it is comes out. So people are speculating, of course. We're probably not going to know until E3 or sometime after that. But, yeah, for what it's worth, he really seemed to be impressed with what he saw.
I had another idea of what it could have been. It could have been like a free-to-play sort of Facebook mobile sort of game and all that. That was another idea that could have come to mind. But I still reckon it could be like another Street, Return of Street.
I was thinking NBL Live, actually. The market for that's just through the roof.
The whole new concept thing, yeah, that sort of threw me off as well. But like whether it is a new concept for NBA Live and
no,
that,
I said NBL. I said NBL Live.
Oh, NBL. Oh, sorry, my mistake. I misheard that. yeah. Well.
And all 10 people listening to the podcast who were interested in the NBL went wild.
Yeah.
also, the only 10
they're
people
they're on their ventilators getting... right now. They're on their ventilators just from excitement and sheer shortness.
Andrew's just a tease, a big tease.
Yeah. we know it's going to sell at least 20 units. So look forward to that in October or whenever that drops. NBL Live, you know. Yeah. It's going to be great. But continue to we invite everyone to take it to the forums and speculate on what they think that might be. It's always fun to talk about these things, throw ideas out there, and yeah, take it to the forums. Always welcome people's thoughts on that. So I guess that just about wraps up our video game or basketball video game discussion for this week, unless you gentlemen have anything else to add.
As far as video games go, no, not much. Trials Evolution has been for a year in Xbox Live Arcade, and it has over 1 million users. So, you know, congrats to Redlings for putting out such a great game, and I've spent hours upon hours upon hours on that game. So I'm glad that it's so successful. And I'm I've done Let's Plays with John, and you know we've gotten some great ideas during the Trials Evolution Let's Play. So you know, it can be an inspiration tool as much as anything else. You know.
Yeah.
So definitely, congrats to Redlings if you haven't played Trials Evolution. You know, it only takes to see one gameplay video of the thing to be hooked. So you know, definitely go check that out. Great game. And let's move on.
Okay. So we come to the portion of the program where we move from the virtual hardwood to the real NBA. The regular season wrapped up today as we're recording this, but certainly some big developments came out just as we were releasing last week's episode. And I guess the biggest story out of the last week, Kobe Bryant went down for the season. He'll be out 6 to 9 months. After, was it rupturing his Achilles?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And obviously at the worst possible time for the Lakers. Or is it? Because they have actually finished the season rather strong without him. So I'll throw it over to you, Lefthos, as I know you are such a Kobe fan. your thoughts on the injury and what it means for the Lakers? I mean, Benji, in the forum, not our Ben, Benji, brought up the Patrick Ewing theory, the idea that a team actually gets better when their star player, who normally would be responsible for so many wins, goes down. And we saw the Knicks in '99 go through the NBA Finals that year. I mean, do you see the Lakers overachieving now with Dwight Howard? Well, I'll throw the mic over to you. What are your thoughts?
I love how the Lakers fans went from pray for Kobe being a hashtag to I love these new Lakers.
Yeah.
And I love how the Lakers are already, without Kobe, are already a thing as the new Lakers. Apparently, the Lakers have been doing well enough without Kobe to have excited pretty much everyone, and they've clinched the seventh seed in the Western Conference, so they will be going up against the Spurs. I respect Kobe as a player. I definitely, you know, have nothing against him. I just dislike the Lakers as a team, but they did win their last 5 games in a row. So, you know, they won against the Hornets, the Blazers, the Warriors, the Spurs, and the Rockets. And they won. The most important fact of all these is that they won against the Spurs without Kobe, and they will be facing the Spurs in the playoffs. And although I would much rather, you know, I would get such a, you know, that weird bad satisfaction that I get when the Lakers lose, but I have to admit that a matchup between the Spurs and the Lakers right now seems very exciting and very interesting to see, you know, if the Spurs that are having, you know, great regular seasons, but then lost twice to the Heat, lost to the Lakers near the end. I mean, it's interesting to see, you know, this successful team that Popovich has put together, whether they'll be able to have more of an impact in the playoffs, or whether the Lakers that, you know, I have been, you know, betting my money on them getting kicked out in the first round, will be able to overcome the Spurs. And yeah, it is an interesting question, and I'd much rather see that matchup than, you know, possibly Jazz against the Spurs. So it's, I, in the end, to be honest, I'm glad the Western Conference ended up that way, because I was expecting the Lakers to lose to the Spurs, but now that they've actually overcome them, it will be a very interesting series to watch, and I'll definitely be keeping a close eye to it. And, you know, as we expected, the Western Conference as a whole has a lot of interesting matchups, but, you know, the main question right now is, are the Lakers going to still be, you know, that good without Kobe Bryant, because the Lakers can amnesty Kobe Bryant and move on?
Yeah.
It is something that is going around. I don't know if people actually are seeing that happening.
I don't believe it happening. I mean,
Bryant has been the Lakers for so many years. He's so tied to the legacy that even injured, nobody, even Lakers haters like me, wouldn't see him in any other team or any other role.
And if it comes to missing next season, insurance will pick up about 80% of his contract, I believe, under the CBA. So if money is the concern, they don't need amnesty for him from that point of view. The only reason I could do it is if there's kind of a power play with Dwight Howard behind the scenes saying, well, hey, this is my team now. Kick him out.
If this doesn't happen, then I'm out the door. It comes to the agency time.
I don't, you know, as much as I don't like the Lakers, I don't like Dwight Howard even more. If the Lakers became Howard's team, I would root against them every single night. Even with Howard's ability, which, you know, I can't dispute, I don't want him to be able to control a team like that ever again. He ruined the Magic.
Yeah.
Yep.
He absolutely ruined the Magic.
He helped the Nuggets, though. That trade has helped the Nuggets immensely.
Yeah. Even so, I mean, I don't want Howard to be able to have so much power.
Yeah.
It's one of those people that has great ability, but is so way above himself, you know, as far as his ego goes, that he needs to be somehow contained. You can't, you know, be there to satisfy his every whim, because that is definitely going to backfire. You're not going to be able to live off of just Dwight Howard long enough, and then when another player comes in and is very helpful to your franchise, if you've given Dwight Howard all the power, you're just depending on whether Dwight Howard likes the guy or not.
Yeah.
No, whether Dwight Howard becomes jealous of him, or whether he just wants all the power no matter what happens to the team. You just can't give Howard all that power. That's just my opinion, you know. It will be an interesting thing to see how the Lakers, work without Kobe Bryant, who is out for 6 to 9 months. Everyone's saying that Kobe is a fighter. He will be back as soon as he's even the slightest cleared to come back, that he's going to be back in 6 months rather than 9, because that's just Kobe. But you know that you can think that if you want, but then it's a medical condition.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. He obviously has a lot of drive. We know, and people are making a big deal of him taking those last couple of free throws on the ruptured Achilles. Which, you know, I'll give him his due. I mean, I don't know that I wouldn't want to be heading straight back to the locker room to get looked at after rupturing my Achilles. But yeah, I think people are. So there are some people who are treating it like he played the whole game on a superhuman effort of playing it on ruptured Achilles. But that's
Paul Pierce's wheelchair scenario all over again.
That's some fans for you. But at his age, and I mean the rupturing of the Achilles, And we saw, if you watch the footage of the game against the Warriors where it happened, he rolled his ankle a couple of times during that game. He was really taking damage throughout the game before it actually happened. And that's, as I understand it, that's an injury that happens not so much from doing anything, because all he was doing was driving to the basket past Harrison Barnes. It's a wear and tear issue. So it'll be interesting to see just how quickly he can come back, no matter how determined he is, and just what kind of player he can be after such a such a big injury. Yeah. And
I'm more interested in seeing, you know, how the Lakers decide to develop without him. You know, because 6 months is still 6 months. That's the off season. That's the playoffs, the off season, and then some. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of moves the management decides to do, but I don't see Kobe Bryant becoming, you know, this injury ending his legacy with the Lakers. Because if it's up to him, he's not quitting the game yet. You know, he made a long Facebook post saying that he doesn't believe he's going to be the same, but then, you know, putting the trouble that he's having in perspective to the trouble that other people in the world are having, he feels that he can't complain and that the best thing he can do is do his best to recover and be as good as he can be when he comes back. And I respect that. That's a very mature point of view, and it's way more mature than we could say about a lot other players who, you know, make their injury sound like it's the end of the world, as if the world doesn't have enough misery without them complaining. So, you know, respect to Kobe Bryant for going through this. I really wouldn't want to see him be separated from the Lakers' legacy, you know, because of his injury. But it will be interesting to see how the Lakers develop, you know, after that. And it's not the only team that will be very interesting to what develop through the offseason. I mean, when you take a look at the beatdown that some teams got throughout the season with injuries, and, you know, the Celtics are a very good example, you can only wonder what the future holds. So it's going to be a very interesting off-season, and I hope that me saying that doesn't jinx it, you know, and make it a very boring off-season.
Much like trade deadline.
The trade deadline, yes. I don't want that to happen again. I mean, this offseason is starting to be really exciting. Maybe the draft class isn't all that compared to other years, and everyone's already talking about the 2014 draft class has been much better and much deeper. And but, you know, it's even without the draft being that interesting, it's an interesting offseason just because of all the injuries that have happened, the season-ending injuries and the torn ACLs that we saw through the season. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how teams rebuild. Yep. And, you know, to go for a bit to my team, to my Pistons team, if you want, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Tom Gores, who's the owner of the Pistons, wanting to make moves and move fast to the future and change things, and he's not afraid to spend money and stuff like that. And Lawrence Frank, who has been the coach for the past 2 years, hasn't done all that much of a great job. So reports are coming already today from Adrian Wojnarowski of Yahoo, I think. Is he
Yahoo
part
NBA,
of the
yeah.
Yeah. Yahoo NBA? That, you know, that he could be out as soon as today. So the Pistons are moving forward. Obviously, I made a few tweets saying that I'm going to miss Lawrence Frank, which is way more than I could ever say for John Kuster. But, you know, if management sees, and everyone has been complaining about Lawrence Frank not playing, for example, Drummond as many minutes as he should be playing, or not starting him early enough, and the team did win just 29 games this year, so people are blaming Frank, among other things. So it's going to be an interesting offseason as well for the Pistons, as far as the coach goes, and as far as, you know, who stays, who leaves, who the Pistons pick up in the offseason, because the Pistons definitely didn't tank. They could have tanked. They could have, you know, gone all out to get a better piece from the draft, but to a lot of the Pistons fans' anger and fury, the Pistons won four of their last five games, and four in a row, which they haven't done for a very long time. I mean, if they won last night against the Nets, they would have matched, you know, a five-game win in wins in a row that they haven't done since 2009. So they definitely didn't tank near the end. So their draft odds,
they beat my Bulls. Yeah,
they did. They did. But you know, your Bulls were losing to their own teams and winning their own teams all year long. So that's no surprise. It's as I said. You know, even just with the Lakers, the Celtics, the Pistons, there's a lot of teams that you have to keep a close eye during the offseason. And I said that last year, but I'm going to say that this year even more. It's going to be a very interesting offseason and a very interesting next season, you know, coming up.
Yeah. And hopefully with some players returning from injury.
I know you want Danilo to come back as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Any time frame on his return?
On Rose?
No. I know that besides a Bulls fan, you were sad about Gallinari.
My virtual teammate,
Your virtual teammate. I know you've grown to like the Nuggets even just through my career.
Yeah. No, it's like everything else, it's everyone else has gone down and Rondo and everyone just hope that they can return as soon as possible, basically.
So yeah, Bulls. Rose is what's going on with
before,
that?
Before we move on, there is something that Jasmine wanted us to talk about this week, and you've sort of been in and out. Well, you missed the podcast episode number 24, and you came in halfway through last week, so we didn't really get your thoughts on the whole Lakers conspiracy talk. But I just wanted to throw it over to Ben first, just to see if you had any extra thoughts, additional thoughts on the latest, especially the Warriors game. I'm not sure if you've seen that video, Ben, of all the...
I posted, the 50 to 16 free throws.
Yeah.
It's like, it adds more fuel to the fire with regards to that whole conspiracy that the NBA needs the Lakers in the playoffs because of the sheer market and popularity that they have, not just in the US, but worldwide. You know, you've got some obsessed fans like Will Sitt, for example. he's a diehard. So it's, I can see that the whole money making side of it has sort of forced the Lakers gotten the Lakers into the playoffs. I think, in particular today, the Jazz tanked today. And that's sad. Like, if I was a Jazz fan, I'd be pissed, to be honest. Like, the fact that your team just gave in with a chance of potentially making the playoffs, it's like...
To not get out just... fighting,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I didn't watch the game. Had the Jazz given up from the start? Did they give
up pretty
midway?
Yeah, pretty much. It was like, what was it, 65 to 49 the score at one point. And, yeah, it was just bad from what I heard. They just didn't have the energy or the fight in them, and it was like it was sad. Like,
didn't seem like they were making the playoff
push. Yeah, exactly. And I think they tanked the last few games as well. There's some games that they should have technically won, but they didn't. So I don't know what was going on behind the scenes with that, but if I was a fan of them, I'd be pretty cut.
Yeah. Do you buy into the conspiracy, or do you still think it's just kind of the way it is with a big market? I mean, I think there is
some suspicious stuff going on a little bit. Like, this just seems to be a little bit too much more evidence to potentially support it, whether it's coming from the high end of the office or if it's sort of like a Doherty situation with corrupt refs. I don't know. But it's, yeah, and I wanted to put a
little sus
point.
Yeah,
it's just a little bit sus. I did want to put a point on about the whole Kobe Bryant situation. I think it's another case of D'Antoni sort of not resting his play. I mean, we talked about it actually last week's podcast, and you're saying, you know, is the risk going to be worth it if someone was to get injured? And
Yeah, I guess we have no answer.
Look what happened. Look what happened. So, and you know, Tony's famous for doing this, where he just runs his starters out into the ground, and basically with Amari and that in Phoenix. So, yeah, I think that's one thing like fans have got to be concerned about, especially if he's still going to be there for a few more years. It's like, is it going to happen next year where he's just going to wear his starters out? Yeah. Where they have, where they're playing 48 minutes a game and possibly overtime games. So,
and he's probably going to be there, as you said, a few more years because he does have a lengthy contract. They're still paying Mike Brown's contract. So how many ex-coaches do they want to pay?
I know. So they've kind of dug themselves in that hole. If they were trying to lure, if they were ever going to try and lure Phil Jackson back, you know, they've got to pay how many years and stuff like that for their coaching. So I feel bad for Laker fans in that way, that the coach has effectively just run the guys into the ground. But being a Laker hater that I am, I'm kind of happy to see it. With the whole Dwight Howard, like how you guys are talking about the whole Dwight Howard power thing, sort of for me, it brings visions of the new J. Cole and Miguel song Power Trip, the whole film clip to that, where J. Cole and a mate of his are basically driving out in a car, and they got Miguel's body wrapped up, and they bury him under in like the forest and all that stuff. So whether that's a good analogy for what could be happening with Dwight Howard's power trip and that. So I think it's a fair comparison.
So Leftos, we bring you know, have you seen any of the videos the highlighting some of the bad calls? Do you buy into conspiracy or just regular old superstar calls?
I don't know. I mean, you made a comment that I saw a comment that I think it was you, Andrew, that made it, that said that the videos focus on the ridiculously bad calls.
Pat did,
Pat did. And, you know, you have to wonder, if we took each game and just cut, made a montage of all the ridiculously bad calls, how different would those be from the Lakers videos? I mean, does it become news because we're closer to the playoffs and because it's the Lakers, and have we had games throughout the season that it was just as bad?
Agree. It looks
there
worse.
There are factors. Yeah. There are other factors you have to take into consideration. I mean, were those games that the Lakers, you know, seem to have gotten an advantage by the referees being, you know, close together rather than spread randomly over the season? Were those games focused on, you know, were those games that seemed to, they had an advantage, you know, closer to the playoffs? Because, you know, when, if you see things like that happening, if they happen twice a week, but, you know, it's still the start of the season, nobody's going to care, you know? If you get four or five early wins and, you know, the refereeing was bad, you know, everyone's going to forget about it. But if it's late in the season and it's and we're close to the playoffs and it's games that are going to determine which team gets to the playoffs and what are the seedings and stuff like that, you know, but there are a lot of factors to consider before we can cry foul and conspiracy. You know, I don't know. We'll have to see how the playoffs go, because the Lakers are going to be up against the Spurs. And remember that in the Spurs game, you didn't hear cries about bad refereeing. So, you know, with all that has happened, which is a thing of the past, and no matter how much we discuss it, you know, owners are there, they can see, and if the game is rigged, they can, you know, take care of the thing themselves if they feel they've been, you know, because when the Lakers have an advantage, other owners are losing money. So I don't think that, you know, people that are putting so much money into the game would just let something like that, you know, roll without complaining, without doing something about it. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Lakers-Spurs series goes, whether we're going to get, you know, calls about bad refereeing then as well, and whether the Lakers are going to be win cleanly, whether the Spurs are going to win, you know. I don't know. A lot of factors that, you know, could be playing a role and that we have no idea about, you know, could be here in effect. So I'm not going to make a judgment either way.
Okay.
No worries.
Well, since the playoffs are here, I guess it's time for us to do our favorite play our favorite game, which is to throw out predictions. And so we'll just run quickly through series by series and throw out what we think is going to be the outcome of the first round. So starting off in the West, we have the top-seeded Thunder taking on the Rockets, who dropped to 8th with their loss to the Lakers today, the last game of the season. And we'll start with you, Ben. How do you think this is going down? Who wins and how many
Seriously,
games?
We need to discuss that?
Well, you know.
We actually need to discuss that?
It'll be the Thunder. It'll be one hell of a mighty, absolute fluke of a miracle. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, wrong choice of words on my part, but what's the result? 4-1, 4-0, 4-3?
We'll go 4-1.
4-1? Yeah. I think
Harden 4-1. Harden could find his shot, not like he did last year in the finals, so yeah, I'd say that.
Former, you know, Harden going up against his old team, so that's kind of
a
decent matchup. The games are reasonably competitive. That's a decent series of 1-8.
I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to 4-2, but I think it'd probably go 4-1.
Yeah, I'll go 4-1 as well.
Yes. Let me put my prediction out there. The series between the Rockets and the Thunder went in the season. Thunder won November 28, 120-98. Thunder won December 29, 124-94, and then February 20th, the Thunder lost 119-122, and that was the last losing game of a three-game losing streak after losses to the Jazz and the Heat, and that was, even though they had 6 days between February 14 and February 20. Was that the All-Star break, though?
Yes.
Ah, okay. So, yeah. So, they didn't exactly have a break because their players were participating. So, with all that said, I'm going to go by 4-0. I don't see the Rockets coming together enough in the playoffs, even with Harden's talent, to be able to get a win over the Thunder. I'm saying 4-0. I see 4-1 as very probably, but, you know, I have to make a prediction, and maybe it's what I want to see, because I'm pissed off that all those teams that near the 8th seed weren't able to kick the Lakers off the playoffs, so I want them to receive a beatdown, so I'm going to say 4-0. Maybe it's more wishful thinking than an actual prediction, I don't know.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't care. Who listens to me? I mean, nobody's going to bet money based on my predictions. So I can see whatever.
Okay, then. So we move to the next matchup. The Spurs, who've just signed Tracy McGrady. He's back in the league. So I guess they're out in the first round. but they're taking on the Lakers, as we mentioned before, in the 2-7 out west. I'm taking the Spurs 4-1. Once again, a 5-game series. I think, seeing the Lakers win the other day, they can do it. The Spurs are sputtering a little bit. Tony Parker seems a little bit banged up at the moment. So I think the Lakers might take one at home. But I'm going to say 4-1. Spurs move on. Tracy McGrady finally gets to breathe a sigh of relief.
I'll say 4-2 in this one.
Uh-huh. For the Spurs?
Yeah, of course. I think their control, and especially if they can able to control the tempo of the game, to their pace and that, I think they'll be hard to stop. And I do hope they can get more than one game out of T-Mac as well before he does his knee.
I want to be as confident as you are, Ben. I really want to be as confident as you are, but I don't know. The Spurs piss me off because I've said it that games like that against the Heat and the Lakers is why San Antonio can't have nice things. You know? It pisses me off that they're such a consistent and great team, and they consistently lose the most important games.
Yeah.
They can win over most teams in the league. They can get 50 wins season after season after season. And then when it's when it's the most important to actually get a win, they seem to fade. So I don't know. I think during the regular season,
wouldn't that be more my games from Popovich? It's not to show them their full hand of cards. So you're
saying that they're teasing by giving Miami 2 wins in the season, you know, saying, here you go. Here's the wins for you. Enjoy. Have your little toy.
I think there could be an element of strategy. Yeah, they probably came up short in some efforts and all that, but it wouldn't surprise me if some strategy from Popovich. You know, he's unconventional in a lot of ways, so I'll stick by that.
What's your pick, Leftos? Lakers?
I have no idea. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that. I don't.
Do you want me to say with my powers of jinx? Do you want me to jinx them for you?
I don't.
Lakers are going to win the championship. They're going to sweep their way through the playoffs to the championship.
Thank you, Andrew. That makes me, you know, that makes me so relieved that I don't have to make the prediction. I don't know. I want the Spurs to win. I want the best for the Spurs. But if they manage to lose the series to the Lakers, they never get a good word out of me. Neither in a podcast or wherever, you know. If they manage to lose to the new Lakers,
you'll never hear the end of it from LD2K either.
Yeah. I, it's his team. Let's hope that his support counts more than mine.
So Nuggets versus Warriors, 3 versus 6. Ben,
I want to go with Warriors on this because of the Aussie connection with Bogut. Plus, it'd be good just to sort of see them do well. But I think I think this one could go this full 7 games. Probably to Denver, but I'd really like to see the Warriors win it, really.
Yeah.
I'm partial on that one as well. 4-3 for the Warriors. Not my prediction, what I want. I want a great series out of that. I want Stephen Curry to continue to be great, and I want the Warriors to go through because I've grown to love them as a team throughout the season. They've been surprisingly good. Nobody expected them to be able to play that well. Stephen Curry just yesterday got the record for most three-pointers in a season. Passing Ray Allen's record with the Celtics, you know. They've had a great season. They've grabbed the 6th seed. I want them to, you know, go up against Denver and win 4-3 in the series to make for a great season and still the Warriors coming through.
Yeah, I also see it going the distance. I've got the Nuggets winning as well. They've just been virtually unbeatable at home, 38-3 this year. So the fact they'll have that home court advantage in a decisive 7th game, I think, is going to tip the scales if it doesn't earlier.
Yeah, and so, the whole altitude factor in Denver as well plays in their favor.
Absolutely.
And Nuggets did have a 3-1 advantage over the season series from what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah. So
first game of the season, but you know, you see the results and you know it's going to be an interesting series. First game of the season went to double overtime, November 10th. So I want it to be an interesting series, and I hope that the Warriors have come together since then, because all the games against the Nuggets were very early in the season. They were done with the Nuggets series by January 13th. And the Warriors have, you know, they were still getting together as a team back then, and I really want them to do great. And, you know, the Warriors have had their losing streaks. They've lost 6 in a row, then 4 in a row, but they were more close to 500 since the start of March. So I want them to come together, be a great team, and be able to beat the Nuggets and make for an interesting series.
This is probably for the first round, the most anticipated series for me. And I'll be wearing my Golden State Warriors hat, my New Era cap. But yeah, I have a feeling that Denver could potentially steal it, but I do want the Warriors to win it out of that series.
I'm with you. I can't make an actual prediction. I'm being partial, completely partial about it, because I've grown to love the Warriors, and I actually went to see the Jazz Warriors game. And they're going to be my, you know, hometown, quote unquote. my metaphorical hometown from now on. So.
Yeah.
I know.
I have to be a homer about it.
I know Big D, NBA Live NLC member, will be happy about the Warriors making the playoffs. And if they can win that series, I know he'll be jumping off the moon in a sense. So, yeah.
Interesting question, though. If the Warriors go through, who are they going up against? The winner of the fourth and fifth? The winner of the Clippers-Memphis series?
No, they're going being up against the 2-7.
2-7? Oh,
yeah.
I need to brush up on my play of structured knowledge. 2-7, and 2-7 is Spurs and Lakers?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't see them going through that. But if they can't just get to the second round after such a great season for them, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of fourth and fifth, that's the Clippers and Grizzlies, another playoff rematch there. I'm picking that to go seven as well. I think that's going to be another seven-game series, and I've got the Clippers edging them in the at home, because once again they've got the home court advantage. I believe they secured that today.
Yeah, so, they're fourth and the Grizzlies are fifth, even with the same record.
Yeah, they got the tie.
So
yeah, Clippers in. I'll say Clippers in seven, and I think that's not going to be quite as good as Nuggets Warriors probably, but still a pretty good series. But more so than Thunder Rockets, as we said, more of a walkover. Spurs Lakers kind of up in the air, but these last two series could be quite exciting.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. 4-3 for the Clippers just because of the home court advantage. I've loved the Grizzlies game, and they are, you know, Tayshaun Prince's. And, of course, Austin Day's greatest of all time. Austin Day's new team. So I would like to root for them. I'd love to Clipper for them. But, yeah. I see the Clippers going 4-3 over them as well.
I'll third that as well. So I think Clippers will just get it. I think it'll be a tough one as well, like between the two teams. But I think Clippers will just hard beat in that final game at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. If Paul and Griffin continue, and the Clippers are full out of injuries, which is, you know, weird for for any team this year. So, you know, if they have their best players healthy and they put together, you know, the team, they're going to be very hard to beat, even from a Memphis team that has managed to win 56 games this year, which is amazing. I mean, the West has how many teams above 50 wins? Five of them.
Few years ago, they had all eight above 50 wins, which is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, and that brings us to the Eastern Conference, which has, you know, it's so much different. We you don't get all those close teams that have over 50 wins. You know, the playoff series that could end up being, you know, very interesting, because you have teams going up against that have, you know, one team has 56 wins, the other team has 60 wins, stuff like that. In the Eastern Conference, you have the Heat with 66 wins, and then you have the Knicks with 54 wins, and then you have the Pacers with 49 wins.
But then you see that, I don't disagree entirely. But then you look at a few years back, 2009, the Celtics taking on the Bulls turned into a classic. The Bulls weren't expected to do anything. We had that really dramatic seven-game series with triple overtimes and everything. So you never know. But, even the Celtics versus the Heat last year, we thought the Heat were just going to roll over them, and the Celtics nearly pulled off the upset. So
it ain't going to happen this year, though.
Seems unlikely. Well, and with that in mind, we come to the predictions for the East. And the very difficult to pick one versus eight, Heat versus Bucks. Let's see.
Bucks in four games.
I'll put out two words there: Heat broom, and that's Heat are going to sweep that one. I don't see that one being particularly close at all. And
The Bucks made the playoffs.
The Bucks could get lucky on one. I reckon they could win one. They have caused some upsets with them this during the regular season. I know it's a different story with the playoffs and all that, but I think essentially like a huge adrenaline rush for the Bucks team, it could play in their favor where they could pull out a win. But I'll go 4-1.
Okay.
I mean, I think as much as I'd love them to sweep it, but I think there's a possibility that they could get a one win. So yeah.
Yeah, you're not wrong in that the Bucks actually won over the Heat back in December 29 by 19 points.
Yeah.
But that was a Heat team that was still kind of struggling a bit. This we're now talking about a Heat team that won 27 in a row and is just
I agree. I'm just saying that, you know, upsets can happen.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, even the Heat win streak came to an end. So, you know, you never know. But considering it's the playoffs, I would say Heat in four. Yeah, Heat broom as well. You know? Yep.
Okay. Knicks Celtics. I'm going to say 4-1. I think the Celtics just are scrappy enough and determined enough to take one, either stealing one from them in New York unexpectedly or getting the token win at home. But Knicks are moving on. We've talked about it before. They might fall to the Heat, or they might fall to the Heat. They might really get steamrolled by the Heat later on in the playoffs if they meet in the conference finals, but they're getting out of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff X is going to be happy.
I'm seeing that Paul Pierce left yesterday's game against Toronto with a sore left ankle. Is that something the Celtics are worrying about actively?
Or could that be just... Was that just a way to get him out of the game early, just so he can rest up?
Why? Couldn't they have just sucked him out?
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. It could be just mild. I mean, just maybe a day or two of ice on it and raised above.
This is a man who left the court in a wheelchair in the finals.
I wouldn't put it past him if he came back out with an iron lung for game one. So, yeah. I'll say 4-2. The Celtics will get two wins, but I think the Knicks will win it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm seeing the Knicks winning the game, and after all the injuries happened, the Knicks won by 15 points on March 26th, and the Celtics haven't managed to win all that many games during the last, I don't know, 15. Games, so they've gone 7 wins and around 10-12 losses in the last games, in the last about 20 games. So I don't see the Celtics, maybe they can get a scrappy win, you know, against them. But the only teams, if you look at which teams they actually beat during those last 20 games, they beat the Raptors, the Bobcats, the Cavaliers, the Hawks, the Pistons, the Wizards, and the Magic. Yeah. And they lost to everyone else. And they even lost to the Cavaliers and the Raptors during those last 20 games. So, and the Bobcats. No, so they're not consistent by any means. And they have, you know, Rondo and Salinger out. And, you know, I want to see if, you know, Paul Pierce would, you know, is as simple as you said, Ben, you know, maybe 2 days in ice and it's all good. But I definitely see the Knicks over them, and I would say 4-1.
One? Okay. Yeah. 3-6.
I think in that series, we could see the return of the Dirty KG. I think he might pull out
He might be unleashed another level
for this playoffs just to get scrappy. Or, you know, he's winding up his career, so, you know, he might want to get a few more jabs before he goes out with a bang.
There's no love lost between those two teams, absolutely. The Knicks, the Sheed has retired.
Is it effective immediately or after the playoffs?
No. Effective immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
The Knicks actually had a really weird transaction where they cut Kurt Thomas, signed Solomon Jones, cut Solomon Jones, and now signed Quinton Richardson. So some of the weird things that happen in these kind of transactions, that was weird. And I don't think it's going to really change their fortunes either. So
sounds like training camp, you know? Drop one player and bring another, test him for a few days, then bring another.
It can be like in a fantasy draft thing, you know, when you sort of hadn't really organized your draft roster pretty quickly and you sort of panicked.
Yeah.
So, like, the last minute thing when your timer's running out and it's like, oh, crap, what do I do? And it's like, I'll take this. And then you, 5 minutes after the draft, you drop that player, pick up someone else. And it's like, that was a bad pick.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, 3-6, Pacers versus Hawks. Who have you got left, those?
Interesting series there, actually, you know. Neither... I wasn't impressed at any point by the Pacers, but they were very consistent and they got 49 wins. So, you know, they had George and West and Hibbert and Hill play throughout the season. I mean, they didn't miss a lot of games. The only guy that went down was Danny Granger, who unfortunately only got to play in 5 games throughout the season, but they did pretty well regardless. So, or, you know, as the most proficient people in English say, irregardless. the Pacers have been impressive without Granger. They've had their best players healthy and producing very well. I mean, George... you know, George is shooting 36% from beyond the arc. He has gotten 170 three-pointers to go down. They have David West, who is putting up 50% from the floor. They have some very good players on the team. I mean, both George and not both. I mean, all three of George, West, and Hibbert are rebounding over 7.5 rebounds a game. It's a good, consistent, well knit team. So, I'm going to say that they're going to go over the Hawks. It's not going to be a sweep. I'm seeing something along the lines of 4-2. But the Pacers are consistent and good enough to not have too much trouble against the Hawks. I'm curious to review their regular season matchups real quick.
What were you doing? I agree. 4-2 is my pick as well. I think the Hawks have got enough talent there to pull off a win or two and push it to 6 games. But I see the Pacers, as you said, more consistent through the year. Even without Granger, Paul George has just stepped up and become an all-star this year. So, 4-2 Pacers.
Yeah, and sorry, Ben, just to mention the regular season games. 2 games, 1 in February, 1 in late March, Hawks lost both of them.
Yeah.
They didn't lose by a lot. I mean, they lost the first game by 11 and the second game by 6. So that's why I'm seeing, you know, the Hawks managing to get maybe 2 home games through, you know, but the Pacers are going to be able to win the series.
Yeah, I'm thinking 4-2 as well. I'm going to have to agree on that. I don't see the Hawks being that consistent enough, and for me, Josh Smith is just an overpaid street baller. That's the way I see his playing style is just being rated as, so... I don't think that's going to get them very far in the long run.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think we'll also see the Hawks draft more small forwards during the draft as well.
But you know, moving on, the most interesting matchup of all, I think, is the Nets Bulls game. You know, the teams have seen each other 4 times throughout the season. And all 4 games have been very close, with the Nets managing to win the series 3-1. So, you know, Andrew, being a Bulls fan...
Did the Nets win? I thought the Bulls won 3-1.
Ah, yes, you're right. I was seeing the other way, yeah. The Bulls won 3-1 over the Nets. So, Andrew, being a Bulls fan, who do you have on this?
Well, up until I saw that statistic today, I had the Nets winning. And I will try to be as unbiased as possible and say that it's certainly still a possibility, because the Bulls, to say they're shorthanded, even when getting a couple of players back, you know, there's no Rose. They haven't had the consistency that I would like to have seen, and the having so many injuries doesn't help with that. I am going to go with the Bulls taking it in six, which would be allow them to take it on their home floor. If it goes to seven, a decisive game, I can see the Nets. I see them taking it. If the Bulls can't finish it at home, that's it. Just because of that 3-1, they've actually played the Nets better than I remembered. For some reason, I thought it was the other way around, but I did see that statistic during the Lakers-Rockets game today.
They've all been very close games. That's the most interesting. I mean, we're talking about from the start of the season, first game, December 15, Bulls win 83-82.
Yeah.
Then February 1,
that's
Bulls
how the Bulls
lose.
Bulls are winning every game. If you look at their point differential, I think it's less than a point a game between their points per game and their points allowed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know you've got the stats there, so you could probably tell me exactly what it is. But I will stick with the Bulls. You know, I'll go down swinging with quote unquote my team, and I'll pick them 4-2 the lone upset. Yeah,
Bulls are actually 0.3 points better than their opponents.
There you go.
They've scored 93.2 points a game, which puts them at the worst pace in the league.
Yeah.
You know? 93.2, they're tied with the Wizards and the 76ers for the 28th to 30th spot.
Yeah.
But they've kept teams to 92.9 points, which is the third best defense in the league.
Yeah.
So...
I'm picking them to go through and then get wiped out by the Heat, basically.
Yeah.
I'll go 4-3 to Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Brooklyn might need another season together, and Chicago has shown they've got some heart, and I think Thoreau's defense might be a factor in Chicago going to the second round in that, and knowing that the Chicago fans in a home court situation and in the playoffs, that's a tough environment to play in. And that just they're very hardcore and very loyal, and they do know how to make noise to throw you off a game. So, I'll go Chicago 4-3 in that series.
Yeah, I see that as being a very interesting series, at least on paper. And I really can't decide who I'm seeing win, because Bulls and Nets have a very similar pace. The Nets have been scoring 97 points a game, just, you know, fewer than 4 points more than the Bulls, and they have, they have allowed 95 points a game, which is pretty close to the pace the Bulls are at, so it's not going to be, you know, even a difference of pace. It's going to be who brings the best team to the floor, at a certain... throughout the playoffs. So what I'm going to do is use the matchup preview feature of NBA Stats Tracker and, you know, do a quick comparison to find the best and worst aspects of each team. And so first thing that's mentioned is that the Nets are actually fourth in fouls allowed per game. They allow 18 fouls a game, while the Bulls are 12th with 19.7. They have pretty similar defenses. Bulls are 3rd, Nets are 6th. They're pretty similar at rebounds as well. Bulls are 8th, Nets are 10th with around 43 rebounds a game. And they're very similar at the offensive rebounds. This hasn't been helpful at all. I mean, all NBA stats tracker is telling me that is that this is going to be a very interesting series. I can't pick one team over the other. I don't know. I mean, the Bulls have been winning games at the worst of times and when you least expect them, so maybe they could surprise the Nets and get a 4-3 series win, you know, over them. I don't know. I'm not going to make any prediction, but because I don't want to jinx your Bulls, Andrew. After, you know, the D-Rose injury, you deserve to be happy for a while. You deserve at least one nice thing before you get your ass kicked by the Heat.
Oh, thank you. In the second round. Yeah.
Yeah. So I only have 15 more minutes to go, so I want to play a game with you guys before I leave.
No worries. I got two quick things before we go.
Okay, sure.
The New Orleans Pelicans have just officially launched their new site and Twitter and all that stuff, so the era of the Hornets for them is over.
The logo the cool, angry pelican that we were seeing? Is that the official logo?
All their branding is all there, and you can buy their apparel now. But now I think this opens up the opportunity for Charlotte to return as the Hornets. I think there was actually a town discussion thing this week that just passed about the possibility of returning to that name or changing to a new name. And I also wanted to state that a kid I got to coach in high school for 3 years. Has actually just declared for the NBA draft today. Brock Mottram, who played for Washington State Cougars, he's 6'10", left-handed. He's got some great offensive and defensive skills. Declared today, so I'm really happy for him, and I wish him all the best, and I hope he gets drafted, maybe even late first round, if someone is looking for a 6'10" power forward that can shoot and play D. So yeah,
that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Okay, so before we wrap up, let's play a game. I'm going to give you. I have the All League first, second, and third team that NBA Stats Tracker produces based on the game score metric. I'm going to give you the four players that are in the first, second, third, and the third team substitutes for each position, and I want you to predict the order that they're in. Okay, so let's start with point guard. We have, and this is in no particular order, Stephen Curry, Tony Parker, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook. Andrew?
Sorry, you want me to pick where they're going to be on the first, second, and third team?
Yeah. And who's the third team sub? So if there was a fourth team, he'd be in there.
Okay. I'm going to say first team, Chris Paul. Second, Tony Parker. And third, Stephen Curry.
So Westbrook is in the fourth.
Oh, sorry, Westbrook. Actually, I'm looking at predictions I made ready to go. Sorry, Paul, Westbrook, Parker, and Curry on the outside.
Okay.
Yep.
Ben?
Chris Paul, one. Stephen Curry, two. Fourth would be Westbrook. I think he's just too much of a loose cannon. And who was the other player against her?
We're talking about Curry, Paul, Westbrook, and Parker.
Yeah, Parker third. I mean, I know he's had some injury problems and that, but I think he's too much of a contention for MVP and all that stuff this year to sort of go behind Westbrook. So yeah.
Okay. Let me give you then the results. All league third team substitute, according to NBA Stats Tracker, the game score metric is Tony Parker of the Spurs.
Okay.
In the All League third team, the point guard is Stephen Curry with 22.9 points per game, 6.9 assists per game, 1.6 steals per game, 3.5 three pointers made on 45.3%. And 4 rebounds per game. Did anyone have Curry to be third? I think both of you missed him as third.
I didn't miss fourth. Yeah.
And you, Ben, had him as second, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Second is Westbrook, actually, with 23.2 points per game, 1.4 offensive rebounds, of all things, 7.4 assists, 5.2 rebounds, and 1.8 steals per game. He's been producing quite well.
I didn't realize he had that many assists, to be honest. I thought he had maybe about four a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. To paraphrase Rasheed Wallace, who will always be in our minds and hearts, stats don't lie. Okay, and you both guessed the first, the best point guard of the league right now, Chris Paul, with the Clippers, 17 points per game, almost 10 assists per game, 2.4 steals. He's going to the line for 4 free throws made over 12 field goal attempts for 33.4% of free throw rate, and he's scoring free throws at almost 89%. So that makes for for a very good choice at point guard. And Chris Paul could just as well be with the Cavaliers next year if we trust NBA 2K13. So,
yep.
So yeah, Kyrie Irving's career is coming to a hard stop. Quickly, James Harden. James Harden, Kobe Bryant, and James Harden, Kobe Bryant, Monta Ellis, and Dwayne Wade for shooting guard. Your orders, Andrew? Okay.
Yep. I'm going to say Kobe, Harden, Wade, 1, 2, 3. And then Ellis on as the fourth.
I'm going to say, I think Kobe will most likely go one. I say Wade, two. Ellis, fourth. Who was the other option again, sorry?
Wade.
No, I've already said Wade. I said him as two.
Harden. Bryant, Harden, Wade.
Harden is third, I think.
Well, you'll be surprised. Harden has actually managed to produce best of all shooting guards this year, as far as, you know, without taking his minutes into account. He's been putting up 26 points. He's been scoring over 8 free throws a game on 17 field goal attempts for a rate of 50%, which is amazing.
Yep.
The guy knows how to get to the line. He's had half a block a game, almost 2 steals a game, and 5 rebounds. So with such an amazing free throw rate, I mean, that's a guy you need to attack the basket.
Yep.
Kobe Bryant is the second place with 27 points a game, 5.6 rebounds, 0.3 blocks, 6.7 free throws a game on 20.4 attempts, though, which makes for 32% of free throw rate. You see, even it doesn't always matter how many free throws you put up, because it also matters in how many field goal attempts you get those free throws to go in. So although they both have a lot of free throws per game, Kobe Bryant needs a lot more shots to get to the line as much as Harden does. And Kobe Bryant has been putting up 6 assists per game. Third place, Dwayne Wade. Not surprising. And Ellis. I mean, if I had to guess, I wouldn't put Ellis over any of those three. So I think, you know, it's pretty obvious that Wade gets the third place with 21 points per game, a block per game, one offensive rebound per game, 2 steals per game, and 5 rebounds per game.
I do think Kobe will, before we very quickly move on, I do think Kobe will get first team simply from the media hype and the idea that he's an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. That's very interesting that the stat.
The reason why I picked Wade in that sense is because of the Heat's record this year. So that was my contributing factors into why I made the decisions that I did for my picks and that. I think, considering a lot of people saying that it's LeBron's team right now and you know, people are saying that Wade is aging, I think he's proven a fair bit this season that that's not entirely the case. And so, yeah, I think Wade's had some big games this season, so I'm not going to say he's the number two man now, or that he's basically in the twilight of his career and that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I put him. I would admittedly want to put him number one, but I figured Kobe's sort of ego, sort of fanatic fans and all that stuff, and then the media hype would put him at number one. So that was the reason why I made my choices on that.
For what it's worth, Kobe is better than than Harden as far as PER goes, which is a much more well-rounded metric because it takes the league into account, the team into account, the team pace into account, opponent stats into account. So on the PER metric, Bryant has contributed more to the team than and compared to the rest of the league than Harden has done. Moving on to the small forward position, we have Paul Pierce, Paul George, Nicholas Batum, and Kevin Durant.
KD number no one, that's for sure.
There's no, where's LeBron ranked? You've got him as a power forward, have you?
Come on, come again?
You have LeBron as a power forward, do you?
Yeah, Basketball Reference does.
Oh,
I
okay. Have.
Basketball okay. Reference has his main position as power forward. Don't know why.
Sure. Well, yeah, he'll probably be on there. Yeah, okay.
KD number one. Yeah, KD number one. Maybe Paul George is potentially a second. I need
so you have George over Pierce and Batum.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Pierce's age and the fact that he had those ankle shattering moments this year hasn't helped his cause. Probably put maybe Pierce as a third, and then the other guy as a fourth. But even still, I'm a bit iffy on those. Even switch them around, I'd probably be more inclined.
Yeah, I'll go Durant, George, Pierce, Batum.
Okay. The results are... First place, Kevin Durant, obviously.
What a twist!
Yeah!
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I should have put the drum roll before saying that, you know? I will edit that in.
Yeah.
No, slow drum roll. 28 points per game, 4.6 assists, 8 free throws scored over 17 attempts, quite close to Harden. 1.3 blocks per game, 1.4 steals per game. Second place at the small forward, Paul Pierce, 18.5 points per game, 4.8 assists per game, 4 free throws made over 14 field goal attempts, 1.1 steals, and a 79% from the free throw line. Paul George, 17 points per game, 1.8 steals per game, 4.1 assists per game, 7.6 rebounds per game. And fourth is Nicholas Batum. Let me clarify that players participating in this survey are players that have participated in at least 66% of their team's games. So that makes for at least 55 games in the season and have played at least 10 minutes per game. So if a player got injured for more than and played less than 55 games, he's not in it, unfortunately. You can download NBA Stats Tracker, of course. Download the stats automatically from Basketball Reference and do your own analysis and give us whatever interesting you can come up with. So, let's move on. Power forward, we have, in no particular order, David Lee, LaMarcus Aldridge, LeBron James, and Carmelo Anthony. Your picks, gentlemen.
Okay, I'll go LeBron, Melo, Lee, Aldridge.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I might switch Aldridge and Lee, though.
And have... Aldridge be fourth or third, sorry.
Aldridge is third.
Okay. Ben is right. Ben is right. Aldridge has been playing better than David Lee this year on a production basis, on an absolute production basis. And
nailed it.
So, yeah. So, big surprise, LeBron James, if you're considering him power forward first, he's been putting up 27 points, 7.3 assists, 1.7 steals, 56.5% from the floor, 10 field goals made per game, 8 rebounds per game. Yeah. No disputing there his prowess. Carmelo Anthony is the second, 28.7 points per game. I think he was scorer of the year, most points in the year. Surpassing Kevin Durant for that. Free throws, 83% from the line on 6 free throws per game for Anthony. 2.6 assists per game. 6.3 free throws made over 22 attempts and 2 offensive rebounds per game. And then of course, LaMarcus Aldridge in the All-League 13 substitutes or All-League 14, whatever you prefer. So, to close with the final count for the centers. No particular order. Al Horford, Tim Duncan, Brook Lopez, and Dwight Howard. This, remember, this is on a pure player production basis. Doesn't account for the for the minutes or how the teams did. So with that in mind, again, Lopez, Howard, Duncan, and Horford. Your picks, gentlemen. Ben.
Duncan, Horford, possibly Dwight, and then Lopez.
Okay. Andrew?
I'm going to say Duncan, Howard, Lopez, Horford.
First place, you both got it right. Tim Duncan, 18 points per game, 10 rebounds a game, 0.7 steals, 2.7 blocks a game, and 2.7 assists. Amazing production from Tim Duncan. Earns the first place as far as centers go. Second place, Al Horford, actually. Ben got it right.
Yes.
17.4 points per game, 3 assists per game, 1.1 steals, 10 rebounds, and 2.6 offensive rebounds. Third place, Brook Lopez, actually pushing Dwight Howard on a pure production basis
on
the fourth team, which I wouldn't predict.
Yeah.
19.4 points per game, 2 blocks a game, 2.8 offensive rebounds, 4.0 free throws a game on 76%, which is important. This is a factor here. And 7 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
Which puts Dwight Howard, the centerpiece of the new Lakers, outside of contention, even for the third team of the league.
On a pure statistical level, but I do think he's going to be in there based on the actual voting.
Yeah,
much like
I agree with you. And
I was so close to putting Howard fourth. The factor is obviously free throws, and I don't think his blocks stats this year has been anywhere near the past 3 years. Obviously, the sort of shoulder injury, that would sort of put a hesitant on it. But even before then, I don't think he was consistent enough with his blocks compared to it. Rebounding was probably down a little bit as well. So that was the reason why I was complaining. I just, even with Brook, when I'm putting Brook Lopez as fourth, I was like, you know, this is probably not right. So I screwed up on that one.
Random stat. So they posted the other day that Dwight Howard has actually missed more free throws this season than Steve Nash has in his entire career, which doesn't surprise me, but it's still mind-blowing stat.
Okay. Yeah.
Before we wrap up, though, I just have to mention that because I didn't see him in any of those Ultimate teams, and I'm very disappointed. Andre Drummond, ladies and gentlemen, has been, let me finish. With those very same criteria, over 66% games played and at least 10 minutes a game, is sixth in PER in the league.
Yeah, now he's...
Okay? Just below Carmelo Anthony. And, as if that's not enough, he is... Where is the block percentage? Here it is. Sixth in block percentage. I'll find it.
You're going to have to tell the other guys at 2K to make a whole new rating system for blocks.
Second in offensive rebound percentage. Seventh in effective field goal percentage. And I could find much more stuff to impress you guys, but you know. So we have our future greatest of all time, just to mention that, because he wasn't in any of the Ultimate teams and I had to mention it. Yeah. So there. Any players that you know you're interested in, you want us to have a quick look at before we wrap up? Any players that have gotten your attention and you want to see how they compare?
I guess I'll have a think about it maybe for next week's show, because we've also going to throw out some throw out some predictions for the other All-NBA teams and the other award winners, which we can save till next week, I guess.
Okay. Final thing. We saw the players compared to each other based on their position. So I'm going to give you the six best players of the league, no matter their position, and I want you to try and put them in the right order. Final game of the day. It's fun, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
This is fun.
So I'm giving you, in random order, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, and LeBron James. Some of those are obvious because we're talking about players in the same position, but we're mixing positions as well. So it's obvious that Harden is above Kobe Bryant and James is above Carmelo Anthony, but how would you put them as the six best players of the league? If you want to note them down again, I'm going to say them again, random order. Durant, Harden, Anthony, Chris Paul, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James.
Okay, I'm going to say LeBron, Durant, let's see, Harden, Paul, Carmelo, Kobe.
I'll go. I'll go CP3, Melo, Harden. Oh, the Kobe should probably be up a little bit higher. CP3, Kobe, Melo, and Harden.
Okay. No surprise to anyone in the world whatsoever, from, you know, Siberia to the southern ends of South Africa, LeBron James is the best player in the league based on production.
No.
Kevin Durant is the second best player. Yeah, big surprise there. James Harden comes third, amazingly. James Harden, based on the game score metric and with the criteria I mentioned, is the third best player in the league.
Do I have him third or fourth?
Yeah. I
had him last.
How did you have him last?
I don't know.
Kobe Bryant on a position basis.
I don't know. I was just random.
James Harden couldn't be last because he's better than Kobe Bryant.
I forgot about that. It's 2 a.m.
You messed that up.
It's okay, 2 a.m. here, man. Okay,
sure. Now you know how I feel.
Yeah.
James Harden, Kobe Bryant fourth, Carmelo Anthony fifth, and Chris Paul sixth.
Okay.
That's kind of surprising, Chris Paul. I mean, I know he's
probably... I would imagine Chris Paul to be, you know, at least, you know... but then he has such good competition, you know? He's going up against Bryant and Anthony, so would you see Chris Paul above any of those?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Possibly Melo. Yeah. I would have thought.
Yeah, definitely. Like, Melo is just too one-dimensional with just scoring, in my opinion. So that's why I choose Chris Paul. You know, he can score and also assist, and he can get some rebounds and steals. So that's what I put in his favor. You know, he's a bit more all-rounded.
I agree with that. I mean, Chris Paul has been amazing with the amount of assists. The only guy that has more assists per game is Rajon Rondo. Is out. I mean, Rajon Rondo had 11 assists per game in his 38 games that he played earlier in the season. That's the only player that has more assists per game than Chris Paul. And could you guess who the third player in assists is? The third best player? And he has played, he is fit for this comparison because he has played 78 games.
I'm guessing LeBron.
He has 9 assists per game, so it's not LeBron.
Yeah. Oh, 9
LeBron's
assists
actually 13th as far as...
9 assists.
No, with that criteria, LeBron is... Wait. LeBron is 10th as far as assists per game goes.
Is it Tony Parker?
No, Tony Parker's 5th.
Okay.
With 7.6 assists per game. Without cheating, don't look at the website.
No. I was thinking...
You're never going to find... having so much fun right now. You're never going to find who is second in assists per game, 66% of or more of the team's games played at least 10 minutes a game.
With 9 assists per game.
Somehow, definitely can't be Drummond.
No.
Oh, Jose Calderon, obviously.
No. He has a great assist to turnover ratio, but he doesn't have that many assists because nobody on the Pistons can score. So
it's probably not Kyrie.
Nope. Irving is that's interesting. Kyrie Irving is 21st on assists per game with just 5.9, but that can be attributed to, you know, the players surrounding him.
And yeah, that's what I was thinking.
23 points a game, isn't he scoring?
Yeah. 22.5 points per game on 45%.
I'm gonna say it's not Nate Robinson.
Nope.
By a long shot.
Robinson isn't in the top 25.
I don't know if he's in the top 400.
trying to think of other.
You're never going to find him. Should I just spill the beans?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, end our misery.
It's a Hornets player.
Vasquez. Is it Vasquez?
Yeah. Vasquez.
Wow. That's right, yeah.
Well done to him.
Nine assists per game over 78 games played.
On the Hornets.
Yeah. Apparently the Hornets.
I'm surprised they could connect on that many players.
Yeah. Because as we said, you see players that are so good at passing be so lower in the rankings because nobody in the team can score. And in the Hornets of all people, Grievous Vasquez has managed to get nine assists, and that's very much to his honor, you know? Being in such a bad team and still managing to find your teammates for the right shots that they can actually put down for 78 games out of an 82-game season.
Yeah.
That's a great stat. That's a great stat for Grievous Vasquez.
Yeah.
Well, you're kind of wrong. He's not a Hornets player anymore. He's a Pelican now. He's a Pelican now.
Sorry for that.
The official transition.
I'm curious as to what his turnovers per game are. No, he's actually quite good. 9 assists over 3 turnovers.
Yeah.
Chris Paul is 10 assists over 2 turnovers, but Grievous Vasquez isn't expected to be at the Chris Paul level. So there's a sleeper passer, you know, for anyone that's interested. And Grievous Vasquez is reported to be a shooting guard first. So
I'm going to lock him up late in a fantasy draft for next year.
Yeah. See? Fantasy draft recommendations. Too bad I haven't managed to parse contracts from Basketball Reference because I wanted to play the game of who's the biggest steal in the league. Maybe I'll prepare for that next time around.
Yeah. And we'll throw it. Anyway. Yeah. So, the next time we can do our other predictions as well, no doubt.
Yeah.
But I know you need to head off, so we'll wrap this
I
up.
I do.
So we'll wrap this up a little earlier, and that was episode number 26, the Hollywood edition of the James Hollywood Robinson edition, I should say, of the NLSC podcast. We hope, as always, that you enjoyed it, and we have some big news to talk about this week with Leftos' new gig and whatnot, and the playoffs are starting this weekend, so we'll be watching. Yeah. I'm sure you will be too.
Big things are coming to quote the NBA.
That's right. Big in big capital letters. As always, subscribe to us on iTunes, and not YouTube, although you can subscribe to us there as well. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheNLSC. Follow us on Twitter, @TheNLSC. And keep it locked to NBA-live.com for all the wonderful things we do. So, that's going to wrap it up. I'm Andrew.
I'm Leftos.
And I'm Arcane.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.